Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
There is a lot of news surrounding the Cubs. There's a lot of anticipated news.
Speculation.
As well.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of news. There are things happening, but there's a lot of potential news over the weekend. Let's put it that way.
2025 is a very important year for Jed Hoyer. That almost goes without saying, but I think we need to reinforce that. Are you making room for an eventual Kyle Tucker?
And I have some breaking news for you.
This just in, as Kyle Tucker to the Cubs for Isak Paredes, Werenski, and Cam Smith, a couple of prospects, is agreed pending medicals.
Holy cow!
I want you to put the word out there that we back up. Understand me? We back up.
Hey, hey, holy mackerel, no doubt about it, the Cubs are on their way.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
I'm David. The hustle. They got the muscle. The Chicago Cubs are on their way.
Let's go.
Whoa. Whoa. We'll talk to Bruce later this morning. Maybe we'll come back with that.
Maybe so.
Let him know.
Yeah.
We got the tape. It's going to cost you. Smully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Inching ever closer to the holidays, Mr. David. It is, if you can believe it, already the 16th.
Yes, it is. Good morning, Smully. It is game day.
It's game day
in Chicago, Minneapolis.
I wonder why you had that game face on.
I know. I'm ready to go.
You intimidated me a little bit.
I came in a little ready.
You were going to put a hat on
someone. I'm stretched. I'm taped.
Stretched.
I'm ready to go. I hope the Bears are just as ready tonight. In a little over 12 hours, kickoff at one of the nicest stadiums that they're going to play in this year. Unfortunately, it will be one of the loudest as well.
Soon to be built here.
Well, we'll see.
Wasn't that the idea?
I think that is the plan. That is the model. That is the idea.
And one of the things I always look at coming home to the city is I always look for cranes in the air.
U.S. Bank Stadium.
Cranes in the air. He's jumping up and down in joy over the Kyle Tucker deal.
Cubs made a big deal after we left on Friday.
And Crane Kenny is
this was happy. Not a Friday news dump. This was a Friday headline that is going to last, and it's just as loud today as it was then. That was a big trade.
Big, big trade.
The one everyone's been waiting for.
It was a really big trade. And there's another one people are waiting for, and we'll see if that one comes off.
Well, I think that one at a time, because this was a move that changes their offseason.
Yes, I agree.
That it changes next season in terms of expectations. This was probably the biggest trade that the Cubs have made since they acquired Aroldis Chapman from the Yankees in the middle of the 2016 season.
And you know how that ended.
I do know how that ended.
So and
I think that's okay.
A chance.
I'm not making that leap.
A chance.
But in terms of blockbuster deals, in terms of the caliber of the player involved, trading for Kyle Tucker, giving up what you did, it was a steep price for a possible rental. That was as big of a trade the Cubs have made since 2016.
I think it'll work for them. I think it's a good move. I think that there's an element to it that we don't talk enough about. It, you know, we keep saying expiring contract, but what you're doing is you're getting a guy in a contract year. You're getting a guy that wants to get to the free agent market and wants to get paid. How do you do that? Well, you be the superstar you've been, only with the Cubs, and you will get all sorts of attention. And you will get any last dollar you ever dreamed of. This is a really big deal for the Cubs. It's a big deal for Kyle Tucker and his future.
It definitely is that. And it's the idea that this happened because Juan Soto signed with the Mets and created a domino effect that was felt in Houston and now in Chicago. And that's the right player to set off the domino effect, because when you look at the numbers and you accumulate the WAR, wins above replacement, and I know that's what people like to do, they're very similar. Their numbers are very similar. His and Soto's numbers resemble one another in a way that makes you think that you are getting the next. The next guy who's going to have that kind of a deal, the mega deal. And that's probably part of the reason why the Astros were willing to let him go. And the Cubs have a year to make their case. And we'll see. We'll see. That's a long time between then and now.
Dustin has the magical term dancing in his brain. Craigtober. Say it with me, Dustin. Craigtober. He can do it. Here it comes.
Well, this team is now lined up to win the NL Central. That everybody else seems to be going
by a
different
mile,
direction, right?
Right?
If you're not going to win this division now, when in the world? You know, the Cardinals are looking to trade their first baseman and their third baseman.
They're unloading.
Right. The Brewers, same thing.
I never want to underestimate the Brewers,
though. They're making moves that are also
cutting
moves. Right?
They've traded their closer now, and they traded their Willie Adames, their shortstop. So,
well, he was lost to free agency.
Well, but I'm saying they're down. You're right. He was lost to free agency.
And now they're looking to move their first baseman, Rhys Hopkins, who's due like $23
million. They're in cost-cutting mode. Mm-hmm. They're behaving the way you expect teams in markets like that to behave. And finally, the Cubs are doing the same thing. The Cubs are behaving like a big market team. That was a big market move on Friday. And yeah, there's really no doubt the Cubs should come into spring training as the favorites in that division with an idea that they can win the pennant. They still need another starter.
Didn't they come into the division as the favorites a year ago?
They should every year.
They should every year.
I don't know if realistically last year.
But I mean, I'm
you
just
felt
saying,
that. But there were expectations.
Yes.
You get Craig Counsell. You pay him more than any other manager in the game. You should have come in as the favorite. They won 83 games. They cannot win 83 games next year and be satisfied with anything. And so this raises the level again. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Because it feels like they're behaving and they're thinking the way that the rest of us are about next season.
See what happens with the Yankees. I don't want to be here when you come in this morning, that morning, after saying that they're behaving like a big league club and a big market team. And then when they do some cost-cutting move, I think there'll be some upset in the air.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the Cubs are done. I think they still
I agree.
The bullpen concerns me and should concern people. I don't think they're
it's the starting rotation.
And the starting rotation, you feel a little better about than maybe the bullpen. And but if they want to make, they're making the pitch or maybe the presentation. Dustin, help me with the timing of it. But Sasaki is still on the radar.
He is definitely going to be on the radar. Yes. And they'll make a presentation to him.
They have not made it yet, though.
No,
correct?
Not, as far as I know,
right.
They have not. No.
Did the Sox have their moment? Seat at the table. David literally laughed. But
I laughed at how you said it. You can't say Chris, it like that and not expect me to chuckle.
Chris Getz said they were going to talk to him.
It was a PowerPoint.
PowerPoint presentation.
It slides. No.
And here's my dad at the back of the house. Here he is at the side of the house. What is this?
No, let's not ruin that moment.
Let's not
ruin the moment. We had a good moment with Chris Getz on Friday.
I felt like he was really engaged. He was
really enthusiastic.
Yes, he's very happy. They're going to be better.
They're going to be better. And I think what you heard as much as anything was, and we'll talk about it during the pick six, but it was almost like he was so relieved to talk about a trade that was so universally accepted as a good one.
This is the Fox River. That's not far. Take the family and stay there. Relatively inexpensive. If you really want to blow it out, here's Lake Geneva.
Who's making that presentation? Is it Getz? Is it Will Venable? Is it Jerry?
I think it's a worthy question.
Tony La Russa.
Yeah, you got to tell me who's making it so I can do the pitch in their voice.
Huh? Don't say Tony La Russa. Brandon's starting to stir it up.
See?
That's one of those names I mentioned on Friday that was on a list that triggers Mully. Another one was in the news this weekend as well. And I worried about how are we going to handle the Marcus Freeman news on Monday.
Congratulations to Marcus Freeman. I guess he's not going to the Bears.
He's not going to the Bears or anywhere else.
He's got a really good agent.
You can say that cynically, I guess.
I'm saying, but that was part of the reason he got the deal he got was because of the rumors about the Bears. I didn't hear one other NFL team connected to that.
In fairness, I think this is a good point, but I do think this is very typical with college coaches.
Absolutely. I'm not saying
they always get years tacked on.
I'm saying he didn't deserve
years.
It. Yeah. And it goes back to my point now, even more than ever from last week when we talked about these games.
Yeah.
Marcus Freeman has the most pressure this coming weekend. And now it's amplified, in my opinion. If you didn't agree with me
more
now,
than who?
We asked the question, who has the most pressure in the college football playoff?
Oh, that's Ryan Day.
It's Marcus Freeman.
Definitely Marcus Freeman.
Yep. Indiana's at Notre Dame. And now he had this huge contract. He's not getting fired now, but that's still
he's not getting fired.
But it's still a tremendous amount of pressure. I would have waited on the extension until after that game myself.
If you can't beat the Hoosiers in anything other than basketball, I'm just going Tony La Russa on you. I think you're triggered.
You're waiting to trigger me. Yes,
I'm getting no respect.
You're trying to trigger. I am. I don't like that.
Yeah,
I'm in a very much of a trick bag on Friday night. I really am looking forward to that game in South Bend.
Are you thinking about going?
I don't. I would love to go. I don't know that I would love to sit outside in that, but I would love to go. I think I would love to go.
How's the weather going to be on Friday? Do we know yet?
I'm not quite sure.
The weather was foggy today, but it's warm. Or warmer than it's been.
It's really warmed up over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really kind of surprisingly temperate. I don't know what Friday night's weather is. I think it's going to be one of those games, though, is memorable for a lot of people in Michiana, as they call it. And I think that you got Indiana football with a historic season, and you've got Notre Dame with legitimate national championship aspirations.
They would have been one of the home teams with a bye if you went by rating, right?
And this matchup hasn't happened since 1991. These two programs have not played each other for whatever reason. And I remember that game, and it was a cool game. So I do look forward to Friday night.
29 in snow.
Yeah, that's perfect South Bend weather, man. It's going to get
29
if we get,
in snow.
They're going to get more snow than anywhere in that area.
Yeah, you just answered the question as to how many people are going to go. The problem is that snow corridor that leads to Notre Dame, it can get pretty
treacherous.
Unruly.
Yeah. It's treacherous. You go through LaPorte County and Porter County, and you better take your time.
There's added lake effect snow.
You better
snow
start planning now. If you're making the trip over from Chicago.
You better move there so that you're close enough to
there are worse places to live. I love South Bend.
I know.
I love South Bend.
If you're going to that game, I would move beforehand.
Start leaving now. It's going to be one of those games, though, that if the weather is a factor, you do think it favors Notre Dame, right?
I think so.
They should have the physical advantage over Indiana, in theory. Indiana's probably going to be focused and ready to go.
I'm going to have to Google the game
to find out how to watch it. It's on ESPN, I believe.
Find out how to get there.
Anyway. ESPN.
Good.
That'll be a fun one.
Weekend are on ESPN. Just for that, get that out of the way. And the middle games are on TNT.
And tonight's game, where is that?
ABC.
ABC. National.
Not the family of networks.
National television audience. And you get the Bears in a spot that they once probably relished. Now they might dread. This is not going to go well. And it's
I mean, they just played this team to overtime.
I don't anticipate overtime tonight.
No, I don't think anyone does.
And I don't know.
I don't know that there's hope involved in this game.
Don't know how. I think this is the absence of hope.
Yeah.
You know, the opposite of hope, which is dread. And they definitely have reason to dread this because the Vikings now have even, if they were looking past the Bears, the Lions loss gives them incentive. They can't look past anybody. This is still something. If they win tonight, they're tied for first. Right? In the division?
Yeah.
We would dread an overtime game. Like, if it's overtime on Monday Night Football, like, once that game's over, we have to come right back here, right after that game.
We're the post-game show. We're the post-post-game show.
We are. Yeah.
Basically, that's what tomorrow morning is. We're the post-game show.
Should have Big Ant on.
That's great.
We're the post-post. Seriously. I mean, it's what we are.
It's okay, though, because that you're guaranteed an audience and wants to react to whatever happens tonight, win or lose. It's always the case. If the Bears lose, they're going to typically lose in catastrophic fashion. I mean, catastrophically. They are going to lose a game that's going to be, oh, my gosh, I can't believe they did that.
If I could paraphrase the great William Wordsworth, Bear fans in their youth begin with gladness, but thereof in the end comes despondency and madness.
That's very well put.
It's kind of how the season's gone. There isn't a lot left.
No doubt about it.
Well, there's a lot of games left, but there's not a lot of hope.
No, there's not. I think tonight you'll see...
The death of hope?
No, the Vikings look like a team with Super Bowl aspirations.
And the death of hope. They can tie the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Because the Lions, if you were paying attention.
That was a video game.
Lost that game.
That was something
else. It was a video game. It was not as close as the final score indicated.
The final score was deceiving. The Bills really deserve credit for being on top of their game for four quarters. They really didn't have a letdown. That's a very good team.
That's a good team.
And maybe the best team in the AFC. I'm starting to check myself when I refer to the Lions as the best team in the NFC, only because, the Eagles are playing at a high level, but the Lions are suffering too many injuries to that defense.
Well, that's the problem.
It's so difficult to project them to be good in the playoffs if they don't get people back.
The Lions are, as we speak, cheering for the Bears. Come on. You got this.
They are. Can Dan Campbell give the pregame speech then?
You can do it.
Can Dan Campbell?
If that quarterback goes by the sideline, we're going to break him in half. No, that's our guy. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, the Lions would definitely benefit from a Bears victory. I don't think many people expect a Bears victory. Lions, one of the better games yesterday. You know, did you see, speaking of late game situations and interim coaches, what the Saints did?
Ooh.
The final play, they score on the final play. And then they're against the Commanders. And Darren Rizzi is the interim head coach. And they decide they're at home. and they go for two. They didn't make it.
Yeah.
They didn't make it. Do you think at home
play for overtime?
I think
generally speaking.
I'm wondering what would be the right play there? He felt like he was overmatched. He didn't want to give the ball to Jaden Daniels, as he said post game. He spoke of Jaden Daniels like Patrick Mahomes, and I get it. But the Saints were an extra point away with having momentum and going in overtime at home.
Right. At home, you usually play for overtime.
Usually.
On the road, maybe you would say,
steal it.
Yeah, we're going to steal a game.
I was surprised at that decision, and yet I understood it. But
yeah, I mean, again, the problem is the fuzzy math. You don't know what it says, and you don't know if people can justify doing something based on it. And
I hate fuzzy math.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to apply every game
when
the situation is so dependent, I think, on instinct and momentum and the feel of that game. So in that game, I understood, not having watched the whole game, but I understood why maybe they felt like if they could to score from, you know, the score to the 2-point conversion, they would steal a game against a better team. But I don't know. I probably would have kicked the extra point, take my chances in overtime. But these late game decisions, the Bears aren't the only ones that struggle with them.
You described the Detroit Buffalo game as a video game.
Yep.
And we have a texter who says that Josh Allen is a cheat code. It's great.
He's a front runner response for MVP, right? That was a performance that probably
four TDs
underscored it.
On top of the year, he's doing pretty well.
How about Goff throwing 5 touchdowns and losing? He once threw 5 interceptions and won.
I know.
This is the revenge of that game.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
It is crazy. Oh, another texter points out one of the things good things about yesterday. Very quietly, while everyone was obsessed with the NFL over at the United Center, Connor Bedard scored late in the 59th minute.
It's a couple games in a row.
Not touchdown, but good victory for the Blackhawks.
He scored goals now, and what, he got 2 straight?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
Playing well. They bring up Frankie Nazar.
Get that up to 10 to 15.
Nazar's getting some shifts as a second-line center. Hawks still not where they want to be in the standings, but they're playing better with the new coach, Anders Sorensen, and incorporating some young guys. The guys who weren't performing for Luke Richardson, guys like Bertuzzi and Taylor Hall, playing a little bit better, and Bedard scoring. That's what you need. So that was a good victory for the Hawks. Bulls won Friday night.
Yeah, the Bulls won Friday night. They play again tonight. I don't know how many people are going to be tuned into that one, but they won. They won on Friday night. That's always fun to see.
Without Vooch.
I thought they had decided they were going to give him the ball more, but he couldn't play. So
he could not play. He was ill. Wasn't even at the United Center.
He was unwell.
Yeah. So
hopefully he's healthy now.
Gets better and builds up that trade interest.
See, this is the same.
I just know what I read.
I know.
And that seems to be the case.
They want a first rounder, and no one wants to give them one.
I'm glad we'll be talking about this during the Pick 6, because the Heisman Trophy ceremony and voting and award that was given out Saturday night created a little bit more, dare I say, controversy this year than in many. There's a little bit of a stir about Travis Hunter winning. His speech was fantastic.
Yep.
Ashton Jeanty did not win and had something to say on the way out the door.
You have something that, you know, you felt you should have accomplished, or, you know, you should have been given. Obviously, everything is earned, but I really felt like I should have walked away with the award. But, you know, kudos to Travis and, you know, for winning. But, yeah, it's simple as that. Work harder, go harder. There's a lot more to come. This isn't, you know, the end. This is just the beginning.
Feel free to draft him if he's around later. Not right away, because you got to get help on the line of scrimmage. But if for some reason that guy fell a little bit, I think he's going to have a good pro career.
Hello.
Don't you like hearing that?
I like hearing that. He's going to have the rest of his NFL career to deal with what he feels like was a Heisman snub.
Feel free to get the Heisman winner, too, while you're at it.
Yeah, well, I think that kid's going to be a really dynamic player.
Good.
I don't think that I would have voted any differently than the way it turned out.
I agree.
I would have gone Travis Hunter 1.
I would have too.
Ashton Jeanty 2.
Yep.
I just don't know, with due respect,
that quarterbacks matter.
Well, quarterbacks.
Oh, wait. Oh,
no,
sorry.
They're third.
I finished that thought.
Yeah. The competition that Ashton Jeanty went against to pile up those big numbers would be something that I would look at maybe twice if I were a Heisman voter.
Right.
That may not sound fair, but I do think that that created the enough of a gap between the two candidates.
It was amazing to see two non-quarterbacks finish 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen all the time anymore, and it was very interesting. And, you know, technically, you'd have to say that that Hunter is a defensive player, because I think he's more of a defensive player than an offensive player. He goes, plays both sides of the ball. But I think that it's the first time a defensive player has won since Charles Woodson, right? It's a long time since defense
he wasn't
has been
there.
Recognized.
They had everyone else there talking to him.
He was working. I saw him on a panel somewhere.
Charles Woodson was obviously played defense in the NFL. I wonder if Travis Hunter will be a unanimous, if it's a consensus that he's going to be a defensive player in the NFL.
I think it is, but I think every team will give him some plays on offense. I think he's that good a player. Mm-hmm. So, but the problem is, like, how many reps do you want him taking a game?
Yeah.
You can't have him play 100 reps.
If he's an elite cornerback, why are you wasting him on 15 reps offensively?
Well, maybe get it down to 5.
Okay.
But then the problem is, when you bring him in, does everybody...
Everybody knows. Hey, Travis is in.
Well, then maybe he can run plays that work because of that.
I love his versatility, and I love the fact that he won the Heisman.
Yeah, I think it's great. Yeah, I really do. I think it's what college football is all about. All right. We've got the pick six. We'll get to that next. We got all the big stories of the weekend. It should be a lot of fun to kind of rip this apart and have it all at our disposal. And we'll do that with the pick six. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What do you make of left tackle Braxton Jones becoming the third active Bears player out tonight with a concussion? Roschon Johnson, Ryan Bates also remain in the protocol. Brisker has been on IR with the same injury. Is Jones the most needed player since the Bears failed to score a TD in the two games he missed earlier this year versus the Cardinals and the Patriots?
Well, I don't think he's the essential player on the roster. I think he's a good player, and I think you need your starting left tackle. It always scares you when you hear about concussions, and this is similar to the way this has affected a lot of players, where you come out of the game and everything's clear, you're going into practice, you're preparing, and all of a sudden, midweek, late in the week, you're feeling concussion problem. I'm nauseous, whatever it is. You have these issues that are staying with you. It's just a very scary thing. I think it's good that the NFL is on top of it. It's a good sign that so many people are taking this seriously and we're not messing with brain injuries. But boy, is that's just scary. It is ugly. And I don't think that Braxton Jones is what's going to stop them from scoring tons of points tonight, but I don't think it's going to help them score many points. So it's a bad injury. You feel bad about it, and there's a lot of guys suffering it. And like I said, maybe this is just a sign that the league is more on top of this than they've been before.
You know what's scarier than a concussion? Larry Borum protecting the quarterback, Caleb Williams, who's been hit more than any quarterback in the league this year. That's scarier than a concussion. I mean, and I'm really curious. How are they going to line this thing up tonight? Could you see like three moves happening? Any chance that Darnell Wright is moved from right to left so that Jake Kurhan could play with Jake Kurhan? I mean, Larry Borum was a healthy scratch last week. Healthy scratch.
Now he's left tackle.
Now he's the left tackle. Remember what happened in the Bears game when they were trying to win on Thanksgiving? Larry Borum was in and had a miserable couple of snaps. So that's scarier to me than a concussion. I'm super curious how the Bears are going to line this thing up tonight.
Just for the record, there's really nothing scarier than a brain injury on a football team.
Larry right. Borum protecting your
there's
prize
There's really nothing scarier than a brain injury on a football team. I understand why Larry Borum is such a step down, but also there are two things in play here. First of all, you've got a strapping left tackle, a big man, a professional athlete, 6 days later reporting concussion symptoms. Okay, that to me is frightening if you are a professional football player, because who saw it coming? He practiced all week. Was he on the injury report? I don't think
no.
he was.
No.
He was overwhelmed and overmatched against San Francisco. So separate to what they're missing on the field or what they might be missing on the field is that you've got a professional football player 6 days later after contact, whether it was subconcussive hits in practice or whatever happened, reporting symptoms from a concussion that happened almost a week earlier.
Scary.
That's scary. All right, then there's a football component. There's a drop-off between Braxton Jones and his backup, whether it's Larry Borum or Kurhan. They're not moving Darnell Wright. Darnell Wright is quietly having a very good season on the right side. The stats and metrics back him up. He doesn't always show on tape, but he's having a very solid year at right tackle. Braxton Jones was not doing his job very well against the 49ers. You're going to miss him, but I think there's an element of him being overrated. He's the best left tackle the Bears have. I don't know if he's a starter on a playoff team. And I think the Bears are going to probably come to that conclusion at the end of the season when they evaluate what to do at that position moving forward. So two things are true. Yeah, they're going to miss him. I don't know how much. I don't know how good they were with him in there. But secondly, it's a serious situation when you're dealing with a concussion to somebody like that this late after the fact.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs, 8 a.m. is Biggs time. How big was the Cubs trade for Kyle Tucker? What's your first reaction, and what does it do for the 2025 expectations?
My first reaction was, wow, this is a great deal. My other reaction was, wow, this is the biggest trade the Cubs have made since 2016. I really believe that. I really think that since they traded for Aroldis Chapman, that deal that helped them win a World Series, I can't think of another trade they have made exchanging players to get a guy this good, this potentially impactful, and this universally celebrated about him coming to Chicago. We urged Jed Hoyer to take a risk. He took one. They wanted and needed a star. They got one. He's going to be in the middle of that lineup. I don't know if Cody Bellinger will be around him. Probably not. I would love that. I don't know who else is going to be around him. They're not done yet. I'd love that. This is a front office that is serious about winning next year. And you might say, well, you know, they gave up a lot. Yes, they did. They gave up Cam Smith, the first-round draft pick. Yes, they did. But let's remind everybody, you've got a team executive in entering the final year of his deal. Jed Hoyer is not worried about 2027. For Jed Hoyer, the future is now, and now looks pretty good.
Great point about Jed Hoyer. The future is immediate. The 2025 season is what's next for him, and he is, you know, out of contract after this year. So he's all in based on what he can do. David, I said last night as we recorded a Fly the W670 podcast that I want to now see them keep Cody Bellinger. I want to see what Tucker and Bellinger look like in this lineup. Now, if it's not working out, okay, then go ahead and trade them at the trade deadline. But come on, let's maintain the idea that we're playing big boy baseball in Chicago on the north side. Like, they're going to spend money, and they are. They are spending money. They're still like $25 or $30 million under that first tax threshold. So there's an opportunity to, you know, go for it with one more guy, and we'll see. I mean, maybe we get another Astro in here to play third base at least for a year. So yeah, they gave up something. Paredes, see ya, right? I mean, no, get out. You know, open the door for Matt Shaw or somebody else to come in and play third base. That experiment didn't work out, and Hayden Wisniewski just wasn't seemed to get it. And supposedly that was the reason this deal happened. They had to throw Hayden Wisniewski in. Okay, like, he might end up being decent with them. It wasn't working here. I'm excited that they need a bat. The guy's got a bat. His numbers to Soto are very, very similar. Assuming he can stay healthy, can he play outdoors all the time? He's not going to get half of his games in the temperature controlled dome, so that's something else you got to think about and worry about. But I'm pretty happy, and I hope Cub fans are as well.
Yeah, you know, the first thing that went through my mind is exactly what David said. Wow, Jed Hoyer's, he's got to play to win. This is it. I thought, wow, they paid full price for a full price player, and I thought, wow, this guy is going to be in a contract year. You're going to get the absolute best that Kyle Tucker has because he needs that to get paid. I thought to myself, this guy is the new, like, Chicago sports hero. He's going to be playing. This is a lot like the Soto thing, where you come into a team and you want to be a star and you want to get them to a World Series. You want to leave it all on the field. And you want to be the best guy on the roster because you want to get paid like that at the end of it. I mean, there is a lot of must-win going on right now for the player, for the team president, and really for everybody connected to it. This is a win-now move, and there's no more hanging on to players and hoping everybody grows up together and all that stuff. So you gave away a guy who has made an all-star game, a pitcher that was very promising, once your most promising pitcher, not that long ago, and a guy that you think could be a really good player, an injured player, but a guy that was, you know, how high was he drafted? 12th, 4th, 14th, something like that? It's a first-round draft pick.
Cam Smith, 14th, I believe,
14th.
Yes.
14th. I mean, that's a lot to give up, but it's the cost of playing poker. That's what it is.
Wisniewski there, or Wisnasty?
Well, first of all, that'd be a question for Hoyer and his budget.
That's the voice of Bruce Levine and, of course, David Haw. Bruce will be here at 7:25. Do you think Jed Hoyer is done wheeling and dealing, or is there a companion move to the Kyle Tucker move? What are the Cubs still missing, and what's spurring Hoyer the most?
Well, I think that the companion move might be trading Bellinger, as much as you don't want to hear it. They apparently are in talks with the Yankees. They've come to a little bit of an impasse because the Yankees want them to pick up more money, and they don't want to pick up money on this deal. So the companion piece is they're trying to save more money. I'm sure that's for pitching, to turn around and upgrade their pitching. If they don't trade Seiya, I think they're going to end up trading Hoyer. And I think, end up trading Bellinger. And I think Bellinger is probably the guy that they want out of that contract. That's fairly obvious to me. And I think that they're probably going to get that deal done at some point, whether you like it or not. I think that's coming. I think that they got some moves to make. I think they look like that. The lineup looks like it's going to be pretty good. So I would feel good about the Cubs in that division.
Well, I think the lineup looks better with Bellinger than Suzuki. So if I have to choose as a fan which one I'm saying see ya to, it's see ya, say ya. But there could be, you know, Bellinger then plays first base, and then you move Michael Busch to second base. Sounds like Nico Horner might be on the move to Seattle. That's where you might be getting some pitching in return. But again, if you're going to dump Bellinger, then tell me that you're buying Pete Alonso, right? Like, okay, we're going to save the money on Bellinger, but we're going to then take the money from the Bellinger and we're going to go buy Pete Alonso. Because I'm surprised they haven't heard a ton of Yankees in Pete Alonso, right? You haven't heard that a whole bunch, and you think maybe that would, you know, from the rivalry standpoint, the New York rivalry, like, okay, you took Soto, so we'll take Alonso, and then we bought Max Fried, so this is the way we're going to try to, you know, fight against that. But don't get rid of Bellinger and then stop. That's not what I'm looking for as a fan. That's not enough.
It can't stop if they right. do that, because I hope the $10 million impasse between the Yankees and the Cubs gets to the point where they can't solve it and they just keep him and see what they can do with him and bite the bullet and pay him the money, because he's worth keeping. He's worth keeping. That's my stance today. And until they trade him, that'll be my stance, because I think they're better with him. I don't understand, if it's just a salary dump, you can try to afford Cody Bellinger. You are a big market team. You just proved it, Jed. So if you are serious about winning next year, you're a better team offensively. That lineup is dangerous with Cody Bellinger and Kyle Tucker in it. Now, the companion move could be pitching. If you're using Nico Hoerner as the lure for Luis Castillo in Seattle, I kind of like that. Even though I love Nico, even though I want to wait and see how it would feel the day that he gets traded, I won't like that day, but I understand that temptation. I also saw some rumor linking them to Dylan Cease. Yikes. Okay, sign me up. What does it take? If you can go out and get another ace and add it to the pitching rotation, then you are seriously having an offseason. Sasaki, maybe their presentation is mind-blowing, and it's better than all the others. Any other PowerPoint presentation?
Jerry by the side of the house.
And I think you have to. You have to look at pitching. And then all this is overlooking the fact that maybe they still need a closer.
I mean, is that really a question?
It's really a question. After talking to Chris Getz on Friday, which way do you think he's leaning when it comes to what to do about Luis Robert Jr.? How surprised are you that Getz left the door pretty open to Robert remaining a long-term option here on the South Side?
I thought he did. I didn't expect that answer, I guess. I thought that maybe he would talk around it and be more committed to getting something for him. I don't know that this is the ideal time, as we have talked about, to trade Luis Robert Jr. or to shop him. I think keeping him, rehabilitating him, and then maybe dealing him is the best way to go about it. But at the same time, if he is fixed and he starts to get off to a hot start, they want to sign him long term to make him a foundation piece, that's intriguing as well. So he left the door open skillfully. I thought that was a good sign. And I think that Chris Getz represented himself pretty well in the station on Friday morning, and it reflected just how happy he is to have a little bit of credibility attached with the move that he makes.
Yeah, I don't see Luis Robert Jr. getting moved now in the offseason. If anything, you'd move him at the trade deadline for somebody that's looking to fix a problem, fix an injury, that believes they are in it. And if signing him long-term, okay, he's still young, right, relatively speaking. So make an investment in this guy. Make an investment in some player to give the fan base, like, you know, the guy. He is the guy we're building around, and he has the tools to build around. He's worth building around. So that wouldn't be awful either.
You know, I feel like that was a bit of a tease. I feel like they're going to move Luis Robert Jr., whether they do so now or they do so at the trade deadline. I feel like it's sort of a fait accompli. And I think that the move that they should do is to rehabilitate him, to get their new hitting guru working with him, to make him better as a player and back on track as an all-star, and then you could go ahead and trade him. So, you know, there's always the danger that one more injury ruins his value for good, one more strain, pop, or tear, and that's that. So I understand the hesitation to do that, but I just don't think there's a market out there for him right now that's near what he potentially could be worth. So I would hang on to him, and I would try to rehabilitate him, and then probably move him when you get closer toward the trade deadline. I also think, you know, you mentioned that somebody wrote somewhere that they should go after that Milwaukee first baseman. Give him $20
million. Reese Hopkins,
then turn him around at the trade deadline. When people are in need of bats, there's a lot of guys out there now. Why aren't they playing a little higher economic kind of baseball turnaround, if that's exactly what they need to do? You might be able to get even more for if you got involved in something like that. I like that idea. Look around, bring someone else in here, and then move them if you have to. But be smart about it.
You know, it's a question that we can't really answer. It's a hypothetical.
That's the voice of Brian Baldinger. He's with you guys at 9:25. How surprising was it that the Bulls played so well Friday night without Vooch? And was that a glimpse of what we can expect from the Bulls minus Vooch if he is eventually traded? With his value increasing during a strong season so far, will Vooch be the first shoe to drop?
It doesn't seem like there's a big market for Vooch, and it doesn't seem like they've got a reasonable expectation for the return on Vooch. You know, they're still dealing with having to give away a protected draft pick for him. And if they finish in the top 10, they don't get that pick. So, you know, if they don't finish in the top 10, they don't get that pick. So they're still paying the price for him, and their value for him is probably higher than it needs to be. But we'll see what happens. I thought the biggest story on Friday, not that they made them all, but they attempted 50 trades for the third time in three games.
That's crazy.
And they've done it. Apparently, KC tweeted, that they've done that seven times all this year. I mean, that's crazy. That is crazy that they're taking 50 trades a game. That is. It is. So it's a fun element to watch tonight. How many threes are they jacking up? And, you know, hey, Vooch can throw them up there, too. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't matter if he's playing.
Yeah, Justin? I mean, they were favored in this game. What?
Yeah, the pregnant pause made me think you fell asleep.
No. They were favored in the game, so I'm not surprised. The Hornets are awful, but that's what it could look like. But I agree. I don't think the market is like super hot for Vooch. I think you're going to need an injury somewhere in the association for a team to be in need of him. But I'm happy that he is playing as well as he is.
He's put himself in the position to be traded by adapting as quickly as he has to this new style of play. You said seven games they've had 50 or more three-pointers. That's remarkable that he's not been lost in the shuffle, because this is a guy that, you know, he takes his threes. Last year, that was a bad idea. This year, not so much. So I think he's been better. The big trade in the NBA over the weekend, Dennis Schroeder went from the Nets to the Warriors. I saw some of the evaluation analysis of that deal. The Warriors are trying to wait to see how that affects their output. Maybe they're still in the market for offense. Maybe they would be a team to look at for Vooch down the road. That would be a possibility. The longer this goes, and now we're mid-December, and the Bulls are playing at the rate that they're playing at, you do wonder, when does the sell-off begin? When does that, you know, signal they're picking a lane? Because right now it does feel like they have good games, they have not-so-good games. They have good great games, and they have a clunker. It's very up and down. And you wonder, are they going to be good enough? Are they going to get better playing the style? And then they're going to have more consistency? Or are they going to start unloading people and make it obvious what direction they're headed? So still kind of wait and see. But Vooch has been more part of the solution than the problem.
You don't believe. Next question.
Next question. Did the Heisman Trophy voters get it right by naming cornerback, wide receiver, Travis Hunter, the 90th winner of the iconic trophy? Hunter was selected over Boise State running back Ashton Jeanty in the closest vote since 2009. And while a two-way star, is the first defensive player since Charles Woodson in 1997. It marked only the fifth time this century a quarterback did not win the Heisman.
I think they got it right. Travis Hunter is the best player in America. because he excels and is a blue player, a plus player, an impact player on both sides of the ball. That's hard to do. It's hard enough to be an impactful, game-breaking wide receiver and then an elite cover corner. He is both. And so by virtue of that, against a competition that Colorado plays, I think it probably helped him that he played in a program that got so much attention because of Deion Sanders. That is part of the reality of college football and the sports media world we live in. That may not be fair to Ashton Jeanty. And you heard some of that maybe resentment in Ashton Jeanty's voice when he talked about he should have walked away with the Heisman Trophy. Those numbers are phenomenal for Jeanty. Nobody's taking away anything from his season, his career. Finishing second in the Heisman Trophy is nothing to be ashamed of. Certainly I understand why he wouldn't celebrate it. But when the dust settles, I think that he'll look back at a historic college career himself. I don't think a running back from the Mountain West Conference is going to be the Heisman Trophy winner. And that's with due respect to every mid-major program out there. I know Boise State's in the playoff. They're there for a lot of different reasons. But I don't think the Heisman got it wrong. Travis Hunter gave a great speech, and they got it right.
I'm surprised the vote was as close as it was, to be honest. If anything, that is more the, I mean, this is the best wide receiver and best defensive back in the country. It was, to me, it was a no-brainer. I mean, I might, if I was the third or fourth guy, I might not have even gone because I wasn't going to win other than getting a free trip to New York. And I don't know how great it is to get a free trip to New York, to be all honest.
Come on. You'd have gone.
You can
keep it. Did you see how happy Dylan Gabriel looked?
Yeah, he finished third. I agree with what you're saying, David. I thought Travis Hunter was the obvious choice. He was the odds-on favorite choice. And I didn't think it really was that close. And, you know, I love Jeanty. I love his reaction. I think that kid's going to have a good career. And I think his response is probably how you should feel, like he got cheated out of something. But I don't think he was. I think that what Travis Hunter did this year was unbelievable. And you look at the fact that he played. Look how many plays the guy played. It's extraordinary that you can do that at the college level. Just really impressive stuff. He's a great player, and he's going to be a good pro. He's going to be a really good corner. I find it fascinating. I know the century is relatively new. We're in 2024, but only 5 non-quarterbacks. Is pretty extraordinary. It really is a quarterback award. And there were some good quarterbacks this year, but nowhere near the last couple of years. And so I think that that's reflected. The transfer thing still fascinates me. You know, Jeanty, if you wanted to vote for a guy that stayed in the same program, he'd be the winner.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that should count. So it was good. I like the Heisman this year.
First round pick?
Jeanty? Probably, but not a high, like not
low first,
maybe mid first, yeah. Probably mid first round pick. Definitely a first round.
Not for a team that needs offensive linemen, though.
Well, that's the problem.
But in terms of the Bears,
I think he's real good.
Yeah, I do too.
All right, we got the extra point next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Will the Bears' losing streak continue tonight in Minnesota? Will they even be close? Can you please share a score and a storyline we will be talking about on Tuesday morning?
Friday marked the 2-month anniversary since the Bears' last victory. This has been a miserable season. They are on the verge of their 8th straight loss. And I think it feels longer because the way we went into this year. And this whole season, I think, will be remembered as being one of the more disappointing in recent memory because of the way we went into the season. There was so much excitement. Caleb Williams, Hard Knocks, the defense, all the stuff. 7 in a row. As we know and have lived through, 7 games in a row, to lose that many, you have to almost be good at losing. And the Bears have become good at losing. Tonight won't even be close. Tonight won't even be close. This is the latest bad matchup on a schedule that's killer in the second half. This team is spiraling out of control. The weakest link of this group just got weaker without Braxton Jones tonight. They're in a hostile environment. It's going to be loud, crazy loud. They're not going to be able to run the football. I doubt they're going to be able to throw it. Caleb Williams is staring at five more sacks. So, Vikings 31, Bears 19.
Vikings 30, Bears 10. Storyline, Bears miss Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I think that that's probably accurate. I think that the Bears are going to struggle to run the football because it's hard to run the ball against these guys. It's hard to run the ball against them last time. They got a furious comeback from Caleb Williams in that game, and they got to overtime, and they lost. And I think that they're not getting overtime this time. I think it's closer to like 34 to 14. I want to say 17, but I don't think I can even go 17.
That's three scores.
Yeah, I don't think
they're going to score three times?
I think they'll score twice.
I am curious at what will be the theme for
the theme,
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman once the Bears make it clear that this is not going to be competitive.
The theme will be that the Vikings are in the same breath. They're underrated. They should be considered as good as Detroit, and they're sharing the record with them and all of that.
And Kevin O'Connell's the biggest reason
Kevin
why.
Kevin O'Connell's great, and hey, don't forget about the great job Brian Flores is doing, and look how his defense is playing. And the
thank you, Troy. Do you think that
can't
means
match up?
Brian Flores will be a head coaching candidate in places like Chicago?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a candidate here, but I don't think they're going to. I think they'll wind up. I don't want to say it. I don't want to get into that.
But will they get into that tonight, do you think? The Bears coaching search?
Yeah.
Because there's very little else to talk about when it comes to the Bears.
Yeah. I think the Bears are undermanned in their coaching staff. I do. I don't think they're very good right now. And I think, you know, we've never seen a coach fired in season, so we haven't been kind of strengthened enough to handle this. This is going to be awful. I don't think there's much hope here at all. At all, at all, at all. And I think there's going to be a blowout game. And I think the Bears are, I don't know, how bad was that Seattle quarterback injury? Is Geno
Smith?
Is he down for good?
I think he's probably iffy for the 26th.
Okay. Well, then maybe you got a chance to win.
They got a chance to win that game.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because it's here. Because they're hurt. They got to get back.
Yeah, that's a big game for them as well. But I do believe that the Bears might have a shot to win that game. I don't think they have a shot to win tonight.
I don't feel like they got a shot tonight. I really don't. I don't care how well they played at the end of that game. All right, that is the Pick 6. 312-644-6767. I would love to hear from a Bear fan who believes the Bears are winning today.
I would too, because you're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Game Day presented by your local Ford dealers and idotitsnotagameillinois.com.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in the score.
Yeah, I mean, look, an opportunity to go out in primetime and show everybody what we got and what we can do. And obviously this year hasn't gone the way we wanted it to and the way that we expected it to, but look, just another op, and I know guys are relishing at the fact to get on the field on Monday and kind of amend some things from this past weekend.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That's Cole Kmet. Guys excited to get on the field and kind of prove that the flukish blowout in San Francisco was just that. I don't know that everybody's
flukish
on board.
Blowout.
Well, it was a blowout.
Yeah, it wasn't flukish.
Well, no, but
it was forceful.
I mean, that's their feeling.
Yeah, I can understand they have to look at it that way.
Right.
Yesterday was nice. You didn't have any Bears rhetoric, any Bears mention, really much Bears wise to consider.
You know where they were mentioned is in the game that you talked about earlier, the very fact that New Orleans decided to go for 2 points for the win, and they failed to convert. That game, Mr. David, that game, that result eliminated the Chicago Bears playoff contention.
I guess we did officially get word that the Bears were eliminated officially.
What a way to go out.
I don't think anybody woke up Sunday morning thinking
Bears still in it.
The Bears are still in it if these things happen.
Let's go. Let's get that touchdown. What are you doing?
So it would be fitting, though, that the Washington Commanders knocked them out officially of playoff contention because they changed the direction of their season.
They ended their season.
Yeah, they did. They never
knocked them out earlier.
The Bears never recovered from the Hail Mary. Never.
Hail Mary full of disgrace. I thought we had decided. That's too wordy.
It's a lot.
Yeah, but it was funny when I first saw that. Okay, we got some Bear fans that are believers.
Okay.
Let's start with Angela. Angela's in Justice. Hey, Angela.
Hi, guys. Good morning, and I love you guys, by the way.
Bless you.
Okay, so Hail Mary, full of disgrace. Yes, we did have a tough season, but let's haul out a Christmas miracle for little baby Jesus and just get one more win so we can go into Christmas happy.
How are they going to do that?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I'm going to make my prediction. Let's go 27-20 Bears and just
great, Angela.
Take out a big win.
I like it. I like the optimism. Bless you.
That building's a tough place to play. It's a tough place to play.
It's a good team to play.
With a defense that's coming into its own, with an offense that, with Sam Darnold, is really dangerous.
Quite as well as he has all year.
Yeah, Sam Darnold is really a guy that I like his approach this entire season, and he's been asked about the future and the contract. He's staying in the moment, and you'll hear a lot of the conversation tonight will revolve around what the Vikings will do moving forward. I don't know how they enter 2025 without Sam Darnold as their quarterback. I just think that's going to be a gimme somehow. Franchise tag, new contract.
It'd probably have to be the franchise tag because the amount of money is close to $40 million. It's like in the high 30s.
Mm-hmm. Unless they sign him to an extension.
And he's making $10 million now.
Unless they sign him to a three-year deal.
But, I mean, don't you have J.J. McCarthy? Isn't he the quarterback in waiting?
Yeah, perhaps.
Isn't Kevin O'Connell capable of laying healing hands on anyone and making them a great NFL quarterback?
Maybe. You got a lot of definite maybes.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a sure thing and a quarterback that could potentially take you to where? How far are they going? NFC Championship game?
Well, apparently they're better than the Lions.
If they win tonight, they will believe that in Minnesota. They will have every reason to believe that. I don't know that they're better than the Lions, but they're probably healthier. And the Lions' injuries to that defense
are adding up.
They're adding up. They had a couple more yesterday, and no matter how good that offense is with Ben Johnson calling the plays and Jared Goff, you know, pushing the right buttons and all the things, that defense being as banged up as it is gives me pause. I don't know that I'm going to refer to them any longer as the best team in the NFC. The Eagles are playing well. The Vikings, as we'll see tonight, playing well. Lions are giving up a lot of points.
Let's try Adam. Adam's on the road. Hey, Adam.
Morning, gentlemen. Thank you for the call and the time. One interesting nugget and a question. Both of our former quarterbacks are going to the playoffs as backups. But also, I wanted to just ask, what do you see as the Bears' chance of having any success this last few weeks? What would success look like during your last few games?
Wow, it's difficult to see success. Success is keeping Caleb Williams healthy and letting him finish with the arrow pointing up, having thrown the ball down the field successfully, still protecting the football and avoiding injury by getting sacked less.
Let me tell you something. I mean, honest to God, I mean, this is what I hope for the Bears tonight. I hope they go max protect. I hope they get rid of the ball in a hurry. And I hope that this kid doesn't stand back there and just take shots the entire game. And I don't think they're going to have the time to get the ball downfield. And I don't believe they're going to be able to run the ball very well. So you could move them in the pocket and have them run out of bounds. Don't mess around on the sideline. Get out. And you can attempt to move the football. But I think the priority is the health of the quarterback. I think they need to know that going in. They need to understand some of the confusing looks they're going to get. They need to understand that they are without a left tackle and they don't have another left tackle on the roster as far as I'm concerned.
They really don't.
So
Cole Kmet could be introduced tonight as a left tackle by based on how they should use him.
Well,
the best usage of him is to double team the rush end, and
they're going to have to. They're going to have to. Mercedes Lewis probably going to have to play more plays than he has this year.
Yeah, that's dangerous because he's not a. You're
going to
have to have a simplified passing game because Brian Flores is going to come after Caleb Williams even more so than he did the first time, and you see Braxton Jones's absence as an invitation to be even more aggressive. So
you do a lot of one receiver routes.
Mm-hmm.
Just one guy. Hey, hit your receiver.
You got to move the pocket. You got to do things. It's a quick passing game. You got to do a lot of things. If they could run the ball effectively, that would be great, but I just don't know they're going to be able to.
That's the second best run defense in the NFL. And how many yards they run for against them first game? A lot of that was Caleb coming out of the pocket, right?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, in terms of a conventional run game, they don't really have one. Is Swift still hurt?
He was on the injury list. I think that's probably preservation as much as anything.
Okay.
And then Darrington Evans was brought up
as
a backup because Roschon Johnson is out.
That's right.
And Swift, I think Swift has something to play for.
Travis
he can still.
Homer, is he able to play?
Possible. I'm not sure about him. If Swift averages 65 yards per game in the final four, he gets 1,000. I know that doesn't mean what it used to, but he's got incentive to play. So he's your running game, essentially.
I don't know that they have one. I hate to be down on it. I just feel like this is a pretty ugly situation.
It is. Let's talk about the big trade over the weekend.
Let's warm our hearts with some fun hot stove league talk. We'll
Good
do
idea.
That next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.